السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجوه يومئذ مسفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة ووجوه يومئذ عليها غبرة ترهقها قترة أولئك هم الكفرة الفجرة صدق الله العظيم. Fellow my kiram, most respected brothers, also sisters listening in at the madrasa and over the receivers, we are discussing an episode in the life of Shaykh Muhammad bin Hussein Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali. And just to recap very briefly, that Hazrat Hussein Muhammad bin Hussein Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, he says he was walking through one of the marketplaces in Makkatul Mukarramah, and those days were the days when people used to buy and sell slaves. And I explained to you that Islam did not introduce slavery. Slavery was there. Islam came and gave rights to the slaves, those who had no rights at all. And they were given humane treatment. People who had slaves, they were told to treat them in the best of manner, to feed them, to clothe them, to give them shelter, and to take care of them, give them dignified position. And slowly, slowly, Islam encouraged the freedom of the slaves. For different things, it was recommended that person should free the slave. Some of those slaves, they were so happy to be with those masters that if they were given freedom, they said that we prefer to be the slave of this master than get freedom. That's how well they were then treated. Those days were gone when they were being beaten up and whipped and chained. And so Hazrat Muhammad bin Hussein Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayh, he purchased one of the slave girls who the master or the owner was selling, because he said she's gone mad. Whereas this young girl, a young girl maybe of 10, 12 years of age, she says when he brought her, then he found that she is making namaz, ibadat, zikr, tilawat. But this girl asked him a few questions. And the question was, where are you from? When he said Iraq. So this little girl said, from which place in Iraq? Basra or Kufa? Like that she asked a few questions. You will get it on the tape of the Monday before the last Monday. A bit of detail I had discussed. After that she asked him that, who do you know in Iraq? So when he replied, when he asked her that, who do you know? You seem to be very familiar with Iraq and with Baghdad. So who do you know in Baghdad? So she said, I know Malik bin Dinar, Bishar Hafi Rahmatullah Alayh, Saleh, Mari, Abu Hatim, Sajistani, Maruf Karkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, Muhammad bin Hussein Baghdadi. Now she mentioned his name. Now he was surprised that this little girl, where does she know my name? So he asked her, said, how do you know? How do you know all these people, these great, great saints, great, great awliya-i-kiram? How do you know them, a little girl? She said, oh young man, why should I not know them? By Allah, these are the people who are the doctors of the heart. They are the doctors of the heart. So just as we know people who are specialists in our town, we know people who are doctors, surgeons, little children also, they talk that in this town so-and-so is a heart specialist, so-and-so is an eye specialist, so-and-so is this specialist. So she says, these are the doctors of the heart, so how should I not know them? And then she recited some lines of poetry, the translation of which we discussed last week. They are the ones whose thoughts are locked with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Their aim is but to please the Master, that is Allah Ta'ala. How great an aim to communicate with Him. And then what are their qualities and attributes? Neither worldly goods can shake them, nor pleasure derived from food. Neither lustful ecstasy, nor the love of offspring. Neither wealth nor riches. None can drive them from His love. She says, these are the qualities of these awliya-i-kiram. And these names which I mentioned, that is their sifat, or their sifat and their attributes. That none of these things can distract them from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They eat, they drink, they lead normal lives. Not that they become abnormal people. They don't give up the bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and go away in the jungles or on the mountain tops, like the people who had to become pious in the nation amongst the Bani Israel and other communities. So they had to forsake, they had to give up the society, they had to go away, live a life of complete seclusion. They became hermits, monks and nuns. Now, Islam did not approve of all this type of actions. Islam gave a very, very balanced life. A person will live in the society and he will be with Allah. دنیا کے مشغلوں میں بھی وہ با خدا رہے دنیا کے مشغلوں میں بھی وہ با خدا رہے وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کے بھی سب سے جدا رہے دنیا کے مشغلوں میں بھی وہ با خدا رہے وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کے بھی سب سے جدا رہے Their hearts were connected with Allah تبارک و تعالی. They laugh, they joke, they eat, they drink, they marry, they run their businesses. They live normal, very, very balanced life, but their hearts are connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this is where people did not recognize the awliya-i-kiram. They waited for some kind of karamat. They say some kind of miracle he must perform, then we will recognize him as a wali of Allah Ta'ala. As a Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, a person stayed 10 years in his company. And then he said, I'm going now. He said, why are you going? He said, because I didn't see you perform any kind of karamat. So he said, in the 10 years that you were with me, did you see me doing anything against the Quran, against the Sunnah, against the Sharia? He said, no. So he said, what bigger karamat do you want than that? What bigger karamat do you want that not one breath of my life was taken in the disobedience of my Creator? Can there be any bigger karamat than that? So they didn't recognize them because they say, what kind of people? They are same like us. They eat, they drink, they laugh, they joke, they marry, they run businesses. So they can't be walis of Allah. They can't be friends of Allah. So therefore she said that these are their characteristics. And then she said, oh Hussein Baghdadi, Muhammad bin Hussein Baghdadi. He says, I had heard of your very, very beautiful voice in which you recite the Quran Sharif. Do you still have that voice? A little girl is asking. Now we must not doubt this because as I said that even in our time, the little children, they say, Sheikh Sudais reads like this, Sheikh Shuraim reads like that, Qari Basit reads like this, Basit reads like this, so and so reads like that. And they imitate and emulate. So if they can do that, she says, I heard of your very beautiful voice. Do you still have some of that voice? Now here she's asking her master who had purchased her as a slave girl. So he recited, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before he could finish that Bismillah, he found her collapsed, unconscious. He sprinkled water on her, she revived. Then he recited, Am hasib alladhina ijtarahu as-sayyi'ati an naj'alahum أن نجعلهم كالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سواء محياهم ومماتهم ساء ما يحكمون. He recited this verse. Those who seek evil ways, that means those who engage in evil actions, evil deeds, in sins, they think that we shall hold them equal with those who believe and do righteous deeds. To those people who engage in evil actions, evil deeds, they murder, they kill, they rape, They loot, they cheat, they speak lies, they commit adultery, fornication, they engage in all kinds of haram. Do they think that we are going to treat them on equal terms with those who believe and do righteous deeds? So those kuffar, those mushrikeen, those people who did not believe, some of them were given great amount of worldly wealth. So they bragged about it and they said that when we return to the hereafter, we have got nothing to worry about. Just as we have been blessed with so much in this world, so we will be given much more than this in the hereafter. Why must we do righteous deeds and actions? In this world we are not doing it, but we are still getting it. And this is the trap. This is where many of us also are led astray. The moment we see somebody has got plenty of wealth, then we say that Allah Ta'ala's fazal upon him is unlimited. Irrespective of what his actions and deeds are. He is going to the casinos, discos, cinemas, theatres, rave clubs, adultery, fornication, extramarital relationship, everything he does. But he's got a beautiful car, big bungalow, oil well, gold, silver, diamonds, travelling around the world, touring, without making a single namaz anywhere. But he's still getting more and more. So we also start believing that this person, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy upon him is unlimited. We forget the incident of Qarun, which has been mentioned in the Quran Sharif, and the incident of Fir'aun and so many others, so many kings, so many rulers. So that is not the sign. Allah Ta'ala has not used wealth as a criterion to gauge what amount of taqwa the person has or what amount of close connection he has with Allah Ta'ala. Wealth is a thing Allah Ta'ala gives to both the pious and the righteous, and he also gives to those who are doing evil actions and evil deeds. It's given to both. It is not something that Allah Ta'ala sees that because this person has got plenty of wealth, so he must go to paradise. And because this person has got nothing, so he must go to the fire of Jahannam. He does not look at that. What he looks at is piety and taqwa. So neither one must we condemn the people who have got wealth, and nor must we condemn those who don't have. What we must see is that what are the actions of that person. As you have heard many times, in which Hazrat Maulana Hakim Ahmad Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, he says, Dushmano ko aisha bo gil diya, aur dosto ko apna darde dil diya. Dushmanon ko aishab o gil diya aur doston ko apna dard e dil diya. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili, humko toofanon mein bhi sahil mila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes even gives plenty of wealth to those who are his enemies. They disbelieve, but still he gives it to them. So therefore that is not something that takes a person into Jannat or Jahannam. If the person acquires his wealth in a proper way, in a legal way, Islamically permissible way, and then he uses it also correctly, then he can have plentiful, it can take him to Jannat. It can take him to paradise. And if he doesn't have anything, but he's obedient to Allah Ta'ala, then too he can go to paradise. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that, do these people, they think that we shall hold them equal with those who believe and do righteous deeds? How can that be possible? The person who is doing believing and doing righteous deeds, so in the hereafter they will be given paradise and all the namats of Jannat. They will be given the best. And those who disbelieved and those who disobeyed, so then the real punishment for them will be in the hereafter. In this world Allah Ta'ala cannot say that the sun will only shine on the heads of those who are obedient. The waters of the ocean, if a believing person has to sail his boat, then that ship will sail from this end to the other. And if disbelievers are plying that boat, then the water will freeze. If a believer eats food, it will digest and give him strength. And if a disbeliever eats, then his stomach will become like a rock. Now if he had that kind of system, who is going to disbelieve in him? So therefore in this world, the sun, the moon, the stars, the waters of the ocean, the food, the drink and everything, the laws will be the same whether a believer uses it or a disbeliever uses it. Believer drinks water, he is going to quench his thirst, and a disbeliever drinks, he is going to quench his thirst. Believer is hungry, he is going to eat food, it will kill his hunger, and if a disbeliever eats, it is going to do the same thing. If a believing person, very great wali of Allah Ta'ala, but he is a diabetic, and he eats halwa, and jalebi, and soji, and everything that is being dished out in that walima, in that wedding, So the law is not going to change that just because he's a waliullah, so now that sugar is not going to affect him. His sugar will rise just like the sugar of anyone else. And it's going to affect him in the same way. This is a world of means, it's going to affect both people. In the hereafter, that then Allah Ta'ala will separate. So he recited these verses. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that equal will be their life and their death. That do they think that it will be equal? It cannot be like that. The believing ones, the righteous ones, they will definitely be rewarded. And those who were sinful, those who were disobedient, those who committed kufr and shirk, they will be punished. Allah says, ill is the judgment that they make. When she heard this, she said, praise and thanks be to Allah Ta'ala that I did not engage in shirk. She says, at least that much from the time that I have gained some kind of understanding, I know that I have folded my hands before Allah alone. Then he read further, Inna a'tadna lizzalimina naran ahata bihim suradiquha wa in yastaghisu yughasu bima'in kalmuhli yashwil wujuh bi'sa sharab وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. For the wrongdoers we have prepared a fire whose flaming canopy shall enclose them. And if they cry for water, they will be given water to drink, which will be like boiled oil, which will scald their faces. How dreadful the drink and how evil the resting place. So he recited this verse. Now this little girl, when she heard this verse, those people in Jahannam, when they are going to ask for water, they'll be given boiling oil. It will scald their faces and the flames of fire will engulf them and everything else. She said, you have made your heart inclined towards losing hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this ayat which you recited, it makes a person lose hope. So you should not do that you only recite the verses of azab of Jahannam, punishment of Jahannam, punishment in the fire of hell. You should not only recite those verses. You must balance it with the verses of hope. There are verses in the Quran Sharif which give you great hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, in the forgiveness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And there are verses which create a fear and terror in the hearts. The verses of those of Jahannam, punishment in the fire of hell. So she said that you must not recite only these verses. With that you must also recite those verses which give hope. That is Islam, that is Sharia, that is Quran, that is Sunnah. Al-Iman bayn al-khawf wal-raja. On the one hand, the person has great hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala of His mercy. He says, oh Allah, whatever I am, even if my sins, as you hear in the dua, are more than the waves of the ocean, more than the raindrops that fall from the skies, more than the leaves of the trees of the world, more than the grains of sand on earth, more than your entire creation put together, then to my beloved Allah, just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wash away my sins. That's the kind of hope we must have. And on the other hand, we must have fear also, that if rejected, then the fire of Jahannam, and what are the punishment for those who are disobedient. So there must be a balance. But when does a person have hope? That is the question. When does a person have hope? A person cannot be just continuing in the path of sins, day and night engaging in disobedience, drinking, gambling, cheating, stealing, rape, arson and loot and everything else the person is engaging in, and then say, I got great hope in Allah Ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. Now that is not how in a world of means we survive. When does a farmer say that I've got hope of having a nice good crop? Is when he ploughs the land, removes all the weeds, plants the seeds, then he waters the crop, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also sends down good rains at the right and appropriate time when he is requiring that for his seeds. Now he can say, I've got great hope that I will get a nice good crop this year. Although snowfall or other kind of damage can take place, but he's got hope now, because he has done all the right things, so he's got hope. But the person who never planted any seeds, he didn't plow the land, didn't plant any seeds, didn't water the seeds, but he tells everybody that I'm sitting on this land here, in this field of mine, and I'm expecting very, very good wheat crop this year. So what will anybody say? That this person, his hope is not appropriate and correct. The person does not marry, and he tells everybody, I'm waiting for a child. So where will the child come from? So this is what hope means, that the person must make namaz, keep fast, give zakat, try his level best to be honest, truthful, charitable, forgiving, generous, kind. Do everything that is essential, fulfill the rights of all, have taqwa in his heart. Now he can say, I've got great hope in the mercy of my beloved Allah. And accidental sins, now he can say that I've got great hope that Allah Ta'ala will forgive, because I regret, I'm expressing remorse and shame. That is what we mean by hope and fear. So she said, you should not only read the verses that are of Jahannam. So immediately he recited, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. Some faces that day will be beaming, laughing, rejoicing. Some faces on the day of Qiyamah, beaming, laughing, rejoicing. That means enjoying great amount of ecstasy, happiness, no fear of any kind. They'll be under the shade of the throne of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. While people will be making nafsi, nafsi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give these people a dastarkhan under the shade of his throne. They will have no fear of any kind. And the people who will be given this shade, then it is a sign that they will be entered into Jannat also now without any reckoning. So some faces will be like that. Now once again, which will be those faces? They will be those people who have made the correct effort. Oh Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy descended upon them because of some good action or the other that they have done, or sincere repentance that they have made. Then he recited another verse from Surah Qiyamah. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Some faces that day will beam, looking towards their sustainer. She exclaimed, oh, how long for that day when he shall shine in all his glory before his friends. Said, recite some more verses. Now that little girl is saying, recite some more verses. Now what our little girls want to hear? They want to hear the songs from their film idols. Sing more, sing more. Look at how they flock to such kind of shows. And here this little girl is saying, recite more Quran Sharif, more Quran Sharif. يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقَ وَكَأَسٍ مِّن مَّعِينٍ لَا يُصَدَّعُونَ عَنْهَا وَلَا يُنزِفُونَ. Now she recited these verses. Round about them will serve the youths of perpetual freshness, with goblets, beakers, and cups filled with clear flowing drinks. Their heads shall not ache, neither shall their reason be disturbed. And he went on. Now when she heard all these verses, then she asked him, that have you also proposed marriage to one of those hoors of Jannat? And if you have, then have you prepared the meher? Have you given the meher? So he asked her, what is the meher? She said their meher is fasting by day and saying tahajjud prayers at night and loving the poor. Now this little girl is saying, that is the meher of those hoors. You want those hoors of Jannat, those damsels of Jannat. So then what is the meher of that? Pray by day, fast by day. Doesn't mean, of course, fast every day. But at least the masnoon fast. Now she is saying that. And then pray at night, get up for tahajjud, love the poor. She says, in my opinion, this is the meher of those hoors of Jannat. Then she recited some lines, listen to me, you that propose marriage to the dark-eyed damsels of paradise, seeking them in high rank. Exert yourself, be not lazy in your search. Exert your soul towards patient perseverance. For their marriage price is tahajjud prayers and fasting. Now she says that this is what you have to do. If you are really sincere that you want them, then exert yourself, do something. جاگ نہ ہو جاگ لو افلاک کے سائے تلے پھر حشر تک سونا پڑے گا خاک کے سائے تلے. A little while, get up at night, pray to Allah Ta'ala, put your foreheads in sajda, in the tahajjud salat, and beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر. Put your hearts in sajda. Shed tears of remorse, regret and shame before Allah and see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Tahajjud time is the best time, it's the best prayer besides the first salat, because that time the world is sleeping, everybody is fast asleep, enjoying the warmth of their bed on a winter's night, and this servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala kicks the blanket, makes his wuzu, gets onto the musalla when nobody else is watching him. The only one who is watching him, the only one who is listening to him, is none other than his Allah. The kayfiyat and the experience of that salat is totally different, provided the person is not in a hurry. It's not that like he's fulfilling some timetable. Shaykh said, must make tahajjud, so therefore I have to make it. It's not that. He's looking forward to it. From the morning, he is waiting the night. Subah se intezare sham hai. Person is waiting. When will that time come that I meet my beloved? People in illicit beloved love relationships, they are waiting to meet their beloved somewhere at night. Here this lover of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, male or female, now they're waiting for the part of the night when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala announces, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anyone seeking sustenance, I may give him sustenance? Is there anyone seeking this or that, that I may give it to him? Now they are waiting for that communication. Allah ta'ala has said that is the time that I am closest to my servant. I'm listening to him. Thereafter she recited some poetry. Ilahi la tu'azzibni fa inni muqirrum billazi qad kana minni. Ilahi la tu'azzibni fa inni مقر بالذي قد كان مني وكم من زلة في الخطايا غفرت وأنت ذو فضل ومني يظن الناس بي خيرا وإني لشر الناس إن لم تعف عني وما لي حيلة إلا رجائي لِعَفْوِكَ إِنْ أَفَوْتَ وَحُسْنُ ظَنِّي إِلَهِ لَا تُعَذِّبْنِي فَإِنِّي. Do not punish me, O my beloved Allah, for I confess to you my faults. This little girl is saying, who is so pious and so righteous, as she recited this, that, O Allah, do not punish me, for I am confessing to you my faults. many are the sins that I have committed which you have forgiven. Ya Allah, in my life, from the time that I became of age, how many sins I committed, but you forgave me. People consider me good, yet if you forgive me not, then the worst of mankind am I. He says, people are considering that I am good. People are considering me pious and righteous. But my beloved Allah, if you do not forgive me, then I am the worst of all. No other weapon have I save my hope in the pardon that you grant and my faith in you. Says, Ya Allah, that is my only hope, that you are most forgiving, most merciful, very, very kind, very compassionate and very loving. And it is because of this hope that I have in your forgiveness that I consider that as my weapon. So do not punish me, O my beloved Allah, for I am confessing to all my faults. This is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants of us. He wants a confession of our sins. He does not want a justification. And in Islam, it is not a question of going to somebody and making some kind of confession and then thinking that everything is forgiven. When we say that a person must inform the Shaykh or his spiritual mentor of his weaknesses and shortcomings, it does not mean that every little sin you must go there and confess. I committed this sin today, I committed that sin today. That is not the purpose. Those sins from which the person has made sincere tawbah and he has given it up, then he does not even have to mention that. There is no such thing as announcing and advertising of sins. But those sins from which he cannot seem to come out, so then he goes to his spiritual mentor and says, I am suffering from this weakness, that weakness, so that he may get some kind of prescription to come out from those sins. Because it is the system of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that just as for the physical body, if the person has got some sickness, disease, then he goes to the doctor, to the physician, and then he has to show that part of the body in which there is a wound or a sore or some kind of sickness, and then the doctor, physician gives him some kind of prescription, and if he takes the medication religiously, then he gets cured. Generally. I said generally, because many people, after taking that medication, they go to the Qabristan. So in the same way, in the spiritual world also, that there are certain sicknesses, certain kinds of evils in a person's life that he can't seem to give up. He says, I'm addicted to drugs, I'm addicted to TV, movie, Hollywood, Bollywood, I'm addicted to sins, adultery, fornication, I try but I can't come out. I'm trying to make my Fajr prayers but I can't seem to get up. So then these are the things that he refers to that spiritual mentor of his, and then he will find a way out for him. Sometimes he will impose some fine upon him, that takes so much of money and give it as charity to some poor people. Every time that you miss your Fajr Salat, then for that day don't have breakfast, don't have lunch. Then see how he starts making next day's Fajr Salat. Tell the person, next day, the day you miss Fajr Salat, the morning prayers, so no breakfast, no lunch that day. Punish the nafs. Punish the nafs that why didn't you get up? You are lazy, so now no breakfast for you, no lunch. And if you do that tomorrow, again no breakfast, no lunch. And then take out 10 rand, 20 rand, depending on the person's income. So the mentor will tell him, take out 10 rand, 20 rand, 50 rand, 100 rand, sadqa. Give it to the poor and needy. And make so many rakats of nafil namaz. Now like that, some prescription will be given. But it must not be like that one person who was smoking. So he heard that, he went to one mentor. So the mentor had heard that must impose some kind of fine, so the person will give up the habit. So he told him, how many cigarettes a day you smoke? He said, 60. So he said, alright, what you must do is that for every cigarette that you smoke, he said about 60 a month he smokes, or whatever number he said. He said, for every cigarette that you smoke, you must take out 1 rand. So now this person saw that for the month, that 30 rand is not much. And he was a rich person. So he said, 6 months in advance he gave it. He gave the money for 6 months in advance and kept smoking every day. So that kind of fine is not going to even hurt him. It's not going to even pinch him. So it has to be now again the person has to be asked how much you earn and what is your expenditure. Now this is the way that some prescriptions, this is what we mean by prescriptions. So that is the only reason that the person goes to some mentor and says that this is my weakness, that is my weakness. Otherwise it's not a question of confession like we have in the churches or somewhere. Here the person does that so that he comes out of those sins. So she said, "Oh Allah, I am confessing before you my faults and many other sins which I committed before this also, which you have forgiven." So now this will continue inshallah from here, but this little girl is teaching us lessons. That look at the love that she had for Allah at that young tender age. Look at that khawf and that fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab at that young and tender age. Look at the knowledge that she already had of deen, of the Quran and of the sunnah. Look at the excitement that used to overcome her when she listens to the verses of the Quran Sharif. Now where is that in our lives? So that is what we learn from these type of stories. Now we have heard many times these stories, it is in the Fazail-e-Hajj and many other kitabs. But the purpose of reading it is so that we make our hal like that. Our condition must become like that too. Not that we just really listen to it and say it is a nice story and it's all over. But see that if this little girl can do that much, then we can at least do something too. A little girl like that, committing no sins, and still asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, having hope and fear of Allah. Then we who are adults, and we who have spent many, many years of our life in sins, then how much of istighfar and tawbah we should be making before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So those who are going for Hajj, then what else is Makkah Sharif for? Every way it's nothing but make dua, ask for forgiveness. First glance on the Kaabatullah Sharif, the acceptance of duas. Tawaf, acceptance of duas. Multazam, acceptance of duas. Ajr-e Aswad, Muqam-e Ibrahim, Zamzam, Safa and Marwa, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, everywhere dua, dua, dua. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, to open His doors of mercy and forgiveness. And Allah Ta'ala is willing to do that. Allah Ta'ala is waiting for us to return to Him. Allah Ta'ala is very, very merciful and forgiving. All He wants is we must take the first steps, as I mentioned the other night also. And many times you have heard that, that when a child is taking its first steps, at that time, the parent stands with arms wide open and says, "Oh, my beloved little child, have no fear, take your first step. I won't allow you to be hurt and injured." When the child takes the first step and is about to fall, the mother grabs the child against her chest and says, "My beloved child, how wonderful you are. What beautiful step you took." Did not allow the child to fall on the ground and hurt itself. That mother in whose heart Allah Ta'ala has put mercy for that child, that the mother does not want to see the child get hurt and injured. Will that Allah, if we have to take one or two steps towards Him, will He allow us to be hurt and injured? Allah Ta'ala, who can be more merciful than Him? He will say, "Oh, my beloved servant, Ya Ibadi." Then Allah Ta'ala will call us His beloved servant. "You have done what you had to do. You asked for forgiveness. You turned towards me with repentance. I have opened up for you the floodgates of forgiveness and mercy." الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, loving, merciful Allah. Your mercy knows no bounds and no limits. My beloved Allah, that mother in whose heart you put mercy for the child, the mother wouldn't allow the child to get hurt and injured. When the child takes its few steps towards the mother, "Ya Allah, we are turning towards you with repentance. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. Ya Allah, we are not bragging and justifying any of our sins. Open the floodgates of mercy for us. Open the floodgates of mercy for us. Open the floodgates of forgiveness for us. Ya Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you with repentance. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless the entire mankind with hidayat and guidance. Make everyone worthy of entry into Jannah. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of mankind around the globe, and especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us all with good health. Bless us with prosperity. Bless us with yaqeen in you. Bless us with trust in you. Bless us with faith in you. Bless us with your closeness, with your ma'rifat. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of the hereafter. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, become ours and make us yours. Become ours and make us yours. Koi mujhse puche, main kya mangata hoon. If anyone has to ask me that, what are you begging of from Allah? Koi mujhse puche, main kya mangata hoon. Main apne khuda se khuda mangata hoon. I am seeking Allah from Him. Wo ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska. Yehi raat din mein dua mangata hoon. My beloved Allah, become ours and make us yours. Bless us with the best of this world and the hereafter. Bless us with blessings, barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our lives, in our time, and in every bounty of yours. Do not snatch and seize, my beloved Allah, those bounties because of our sins. Ya Allah, do not snatch and seize because of our sins. If you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness, where do we go? There is no other door that we can tap. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether in hospitals, clinics, homes, or amongst us, bless them with complete cure from all ailments. Ya Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys, make them reach their destination safely. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Ya Allah, those who have gone onto drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Those who are going for Hajj, make the trip extremely easy. Ya Allah, make their Hajj maqbool and mabroor. One day we have to die and leave this world. Don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication, or drugs in our mouths. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with burial in Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be the best day of our lives. Ya Allah, let it be the best day of our lives. For we will then be crossing the bridge into the hereafter. Ya Allah, bless us with your qurb and your ma'rifat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he prayed for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.